Welcome to the Messianic Message. I'm Kimberly Rogers Brown.
Abba Father, I thank you that you have brought us together on this day, and I pray that only your words will go forth from my lips and that all of my own words will fall by the wayside and die, so that your word brings forth blessings and that my words are not ever remembered. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okay, so I just have a few notes here. You all know that we weren't really around for the week, so I didn't get to do a whole lot of study here, but I did some. This Torah portion starting in Numbers 34 is establishing the borders of the promised land. This is not all of Abraham's inheritance. Abraham's inheritance, as you know, is much larger than this piece of land. But what the Lord does is set aside a special section of land for the priesthood. We know this about the priesthood having their own set aside piece of land, because we read about that, you know, land, pieces of land being given to the Levites. And in this scheme of the order of Melchizedek, this land is the set-aside land for the order of Melchizedek, and it's that land is divided up into all of the tribes. So the priests get their inheritance, they get their land where they can sustain themselves in order to do Yahweh's work, which is to bring the nations to Yahweh. Now, we're getting ready to have tribulation because, you know, they didn't do what they were told, and they didn't bring the nations to Yahweh. So the tribulation is actually for Israel. But the nations have to be punished as well, because, you know, they're suffering because they didn't do, Israel didn't do what was supposed to be done to bring the nations to the Lord. So everybody gets to pay for their own sins, yes, but corporately, everybody is paying for Israel's sins in this tribulation. They're all getting punished. Everybody's getting punished. But that's not the topic of this. That was just a little kind of Torah trail there. So Abraham's portion is much larger than this, because Abraham has other children. He had other children. One with Hagar, his name is Ishmael, and then he had another wife, Keturah, who had gave him sons, and those sons inherit. And Ishmael, you know, in Isaiah, it says that, you know, Ishmael will come up, the sons of Nebaoth and Kedar will come up on with approval on Yahweh's altar. In other words, they're going to be in the kingdom. So they get a portion of the inheritance that is outside of this promised land that belongs to the order of Melchizedek, the priest. And, of course, then you also have Lot's children. Lot came with Abraham. He is in a parity covenant with Abraham. And so, you know, Lot is going to inherit land as well. So the Lord has to take care of more people than just Jacob's children, see? Mm, yeah. So that's why we have the allotment of this special section, which gets the coastline of the Mediterranean Sea, and it gets the Kinneret, you know, the Sea of Galilee, and, you know, it's sided up to the Dead Sea and so forth. And it's very nice land. It's a nice piece of property. And by the way, you know, the birds, and I can't remember what species of birds it is, but when I was in Israel on Rico Cortez's tour, they were telling us about this, about the birds that come from north in Russia. They fly until they get to the Dan Reserve that's there in Israel. And they land there, and they stay for about 2 weeks, and then they fly on south down into South Africa. You know, Israel is the center of the earth. Yahweh said it's the center of the earth. All of the nations of the earth want that piece of property, because he who holds that piece of property controls all the northern and southern and the eastern and western parts of the hemispheres of the earth. So Israel is central, and even the birds know it. Even the animals know. So this piece of property is being divided up among the 12 tribes who are supposed to have been the firstborn order of Melchizedek people. But when you look on the maps, there are a bunch of maps laid out all kinds of different ways as to what different map makers see in here about how this was, drawn. And some of them even give part of the Negev desert from here in Numbers 34 to Esau. Well, this is confusing to people because they say, well, we can survive. If we're in Israel, we can go south into the Negev desert and survive there because, that land was given to Edom. And the Lord said you could be in Edom and be saved, except for the fact that that land was never given. There was never a grain of sand given to Esau in Israel. That land is reserved for Jacob. And the encroachment of Edom into the Negev desert happened many, many hundreds of years later. And it resulted in wars between Judah because Esau's land butted right up against Judah's land, what they conquered. The Edomites conquered it. So the Edomites came up from the south and they held the southern part of the country for quite a long time. And then there was a final war in 135 BC in which John Hyrcanus of the Maccabees fought a war with them. The Jews won. And so then they took those Edomite men up into Jerusalem and forcibly circumcised them and converted them to Judaism. And that ended Edom's presence in Israel. There is no part of the Negev desert that belongs to Esau. His portion is around Mount Seir and over to Ezer Geber, I guess is what it's called. That right now, back then it was called Ezion Geber. Right now it's called Aqaba. So we are in Edom.
Yes.
And it is in Edom where and Moab and Ammon and his territory was also all the way up to Basra and Petra. All of that area is the safe area, but it's not over into the Negev desert. So anybody that's in the future listening to this and is confused that they can escape from Jerusalem or some other parts of Israel in the north and go down into the Negev desert to survive, they're going to find themselves to be very wrong because Daniel 11:40-45 talks about the king of the north sweeping and passing over, in other words, sweeping right from the north to the south of Israel and then going into Egypt. People who are there will die. The king of the north is not going to spare them. So they need to get on the other side over here on the Jordan side if they're going to be safe. So that's what I had to say about that section. Now I want to go over to Ezekiel 45 and start at verse 1, where we have some measurements. This is, I'm just so excited about these measurements because I am not a math person. So, I got to go online and ask online how you do these calculations. Okay, so in Ezekiel 45:1, it says that the lot of the land for the inheritance of the priests, this is just for the line of Aaron. Okay, it says there, and also the Levites, the ministers of the house. This is all of this is for them. That the holy portion of the land is 25,000 reeds, and the breadth is 10,000 reeds. So that's 250,000 square reeds. Well, I went online and I converted those square reeds to square feet. And that is 219,734 square feet. And what that comes out to is 87, and if I did this right, Gary, you'll probably correct me on this. 87,894 square miles. It's square miles. I converted it from, 603 square miles. So there was another calculation that I was reading from. Anyway, it's a huge.
What's your square footage? Yeah.
It's 219,734 square feet. And it works out to 693 square miles, which to me is huge. So I asked for, you know, map depictions. I wanted to see what this depicted. And it showed the people that have made these maps are all pretty consistent. Huge area with a mountain and a little building in the middle. It's huge amount of land that the priests are going to get. I think this is so exciting. And, of course, you know, the other tribes in Ezekiel 48, it lays out, you know, how the other tribes are going to get their land, you know. But I should have said Charles, because Charles is the land man in here. Anyway, but I'm so excited that there's the coming Ezekiel temple and the land portion is so huge. Anyway, let me see what else I have in here. Oh, yeah, the Holy of Holies by itself is 9 square miles. The Holy Place is,
wow.
You know, I didn't make this into miles, but it's 5,562,500. So however that comes out, that's square feet. So however that comes out to miles. So Yahweh's temple is in square miles in the future. This is awesome. But if you think about it, because people have said to me, we don't know how all the families of the earth are going to fit into that little place under there. Well, if you think about it now, knowing that this is the city and the temple are square miles, 693 square miles, then, you know, you've got a pretty big place in which all the people are going to gather for Sukkot. Isn't that awesome? Think of how many millions of people you can fit in there. I should have looked that up.
Those room to park. Remember we talked about the parking area.
Well, I have said in the past that I have envisioned, not that I've been given a vision, but I've envisioned that somewhere like south of Jerusalem or to the east of Jerusalem, we would have, like Disneyland parking. You know, you park out there, you haul up your car, you park it there, you bring your camel. You know, you got people that'll take care of your camel. Because the Lord said that people are coming on camels.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to come on camels and in those strange beasts, probably, which are cars. You park your car, you go get in a train or, some other kind of transportation, and they transport you over to see the king. The king has his own transportation, you know. It's amazing what's going to happen in the millennium. It's so exciting what's going to happen in the millennium. And then I'm going to go down and talk to Ezekiel about Ezekiel 45. Where is it? I'm going to talk about the prince. Who is the prince? Ezekiel 45:7. And a portion shall be for the prince on the one side and on the other side of the oblation. You know, it talks about the area that the prince will inherit or inhabit. And of course, Yeshua is the prince. That word for prince is Nasi. Of course, you know, the Jews believe the Nasi is going to be their guy, which we know is the Antichrist, but the prince truly is Yeshua. And it says in verse 8 The land shall be his possession in Israel. In the land shall be his possession in Israel, and my princes shall no more oppress my people. And the rest of the land they shall give to the house of Israel according to their tribes. So who then, if there is a prince in verse 7, who are the princes that shall no more oppress my people? Well, the princes are a reference to the kings that oppressed the people, starting with Rehoboam. And only two kings did not oppress the people, Hezekiah and Josiah, as we're finding out. So what it amounts to is that when Ezekiel was in Babylon and prophesying about him, what he was saying is that in that time, you will not continue doing what you're doing. It's just not going to happen again. The princes, who would be in line to be kings of Judah, you're not going to oppress my people, and you will give all the tribes their land. Isn't that all good news?
This has been Kimberly Rogers Brown from TheMessianicMessage.com. Thank you for listening.